This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ball Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket. It's time for the Blue Turf Sports Report with BJ Raines of the Idaho Press. Presented by RoePaint.com. Don't just repaint, RoePaint.com.
Appreciate that. Again, we are saluting our veterans today on Idaho Sports Talk. And want to hear from you, our veteran listeners who have served. Text us on the Cloverdale Plumbing text line and give us a shout out so we can shout you out and say thank you. BJ Raines again hanging out. Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. Welcome to the program, BJ. I hope you're having a wonderful Veterans Day and looking forward to talking some football and maybe some hoops. What's up, dude?
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks, as always, for having me on.
What's sticking out to you the most with this football team right here and right now?
I would say the fact that, you know, what a difference a couple weeks makes. I mean, my story for tomorrow's paper is just about not only is it possible for them to still get to the conference championship game, as I'm sure Bob has talked about this week, but I mean, it's very realistic. I don't want to say likely, but it's still, there's a very real path for this team to get to the championship game. And not only that, to have the game be in Boise, which is crazy. You think back a couple weeks ago where this team was after that loss to Air Force, third loss in a row on the blue, and oh, this is going to be one of the worst seasons of all time. And they went out, which is very possible at this point, and they only need a little bit of help. The game's in Boise. It's just crazy to think where that all of a sudden they could be hosting the conference championship game and then playing back in that new LA Bowl, which was the goal before the season started, as bad as this year has been.
BJ, we have Logan the Voodoo Doll here in the studio. Would you like to put a pin in Logan the Voodoo Doll?
Sure, why not? Frank Miley's, you weren't there, but when Johnny asked Frank Miley about that, that was the reaction was about as good as it's been all year, because you're asking all these serious football questions, and out of nowhere, Johnny comes in with that, and it was worth the price of admission on that one, and I love your guys talk about that, and I'll do whatever it does to help. Sure.
Where do you want to put the pin, BJ?
That's something I hadn't thought of.
Give me a body part.
Let's go in the arm.
Right arm or left?
Let's go right.
Right arm. All right, we got it taken care of. Sorry to interrupt, Ball Game.
It's all good, man. JP, get after it. Logan,
there
the
he
voodoo
goes.
Dog.
Oh, I can feel the pain.
Putting a curse for this fan base to get San Jose State to lose on Saturday. I'm sorry, to win on Saturday against Utah State. BJ,
and you want San Diego State to beat Nevada, because if San Diego State beats Nevada, then if Boise State beats San Diego State, then the championship game would be in Boise.
Oh, okay. I like that, too.
That's the angle right there. BJ, well, okay, I know we're having fun with this talk, but what if Wyoming comes in here tomorrow night on the blue, and they do what teams have been doing to Boise State on the blue frequently, winning? How's that going to look? Not necessarily with the fan base and the media, but the blueprint of Wyoming being able to beat Boise State. How well are they going to have to play?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to play extremely well. I mean, they have obviously an offense that runs the football. As everybody knows, Valladay is one of the best running backs in the league. Their quarterback can run as well. And so if there were to be a recipe, it would be them running all over Boise State. It would be Boise State committing turnovers in that Nevada game. Obviously, as everybody knows, Boise State had three turnovers in the second half. You know, I think just self-inflicted mistakes. You know, in the Air Force game, you're going down to try to tie the game, and you don't even have your enough players on the field. So, I mean, I think Boise State – at home, for whatever reason, it's just not been focused, making mental mistakes, turnovers, self-inflicted wounds with penalties. I mean, I think Boise State the last 2 weeks has shown discipline. They're not turning the ball over. They're not, you know, making mistakes. They're not committing a lot of penalties. I mean, it's a pretty simple thing. When you take care of the ball and you play smart and you get some turnovers on defense, you got a good chance to win. And so I think that I've said it 3 weeks in a row. I didn't think they would lose to Nevada, and then I certainly didn't think they'd lose a third game in a row to Air Force. So I guess anything is possible, but this is all set up for Boise State. This is what Boise State does. As bad as it's been, it's why every team in the league hates them. As bad as they've played, like I said, the worst season in a while, here they are with a chance, two home games against way inferior competition that they should beat pretty easily, and it could all be on the line the last week of the season. So I say just if Wyoming wants to win, you force some turnovers, you run the ball, eat the clock, and try to win a low scoring game, because I don't see that happening.
BJ Raines, Idaho Press, BlueTurfSports.com, getting you ready for tomorrow night's football game against Wyoming in Albertson Stadium. We're going to do the pregame show tomorrow, and Johnny and I are, and we're going to have a little topic. We're going to get after it a little bit. And we came up with four names because Boise State plays two home games in the next 8 days, and then they're done for the season unless they somehow find themselves in the potato bowl. We came up with four names. BJ, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to ask you yes or no questions. Will we see any of these four players back at Boise State next year? Let's start with JL Skinner. Yes or no?
No.
Scott Matlock.
Yes.
John Ojukwu.
Oh, does he have a COVID year, I guess?
Yes.
Oh, man. I'll say yes, actually.
Khalil Shakir.
No.
You're kind of close to what Ballgame and I said. We won't reveal what we're going to talk about. We kind of mapped out that segment, but I was very curious as to
One of you two thinks Scott Matlock might go? Are you willing to at least say that?
We had a pretty healthy conversation. We're going to have a very healthy conversation about Scott Matlock between X's and O's and his emotional connection to this Valley, fans, family, all the above, and what this program means to him and his family. So I think there's a lot of elements there with Scott Matlock, who is a phenomenal football player and a very complicated and fun-loving human being.
Yes, I would agree, and I know that's not the direction you're wanting to go with this, but I will quickly say that, he was our inspirational winner at the paper, and I got to know him back when he was in high school and overcame a lot of tragedy with both of his parents passing away, as a lot of people know, and I can't imagine what he went through growing up in a foster family and getting in some trouble and, really to make something of his life and become now one of the better players on a team like Boise State's defense and a leader like he is. It truly is an inspirational story, and we're not supposed to root for guys in this game, and we're supposed to be neutral, but it's hard did not root for a guy like Scott Matlock, and I'm very happy on a personal level to see him doing well.
Well said, BJ. We feel the exact same way. Let's flip it over to our emotional feelings, or at least my emotional feelings when it comes to Wyoming coach Craig Bull. I'm looking at the entire Mountain West football lineup, and every conference every year has some kind of coaching turnover. Right now, I don't see a single coach in this conference getting a better job, leaving for a better job. And I think there might only be 1.5 coaches on the hot seat. If Craig Bull loses all three of these games, he may lose his job. Marcus Arroyo, I think it's probably too early in his tenure to get rid of him. Who's on the hot seat? Who's not coming back? Or will all 12 coaches come back next year?
Well, with Craig Bull first, I don't know where you guys, I don't know if you guys would have been surprised by this or not, but when I was looking at the research this week, I mean, he's 43-48
yep.
in his career at Wyoming. I was a little surprised to see that he's under 500. 8 wins is the most he's had in a season. I know the 2-10 season he had there at the beginning. I mean, he's turned it around after the first couple of years, so maybe the numbers are better lately, but I was a little surprised that he hasn't had a little bit more success there, and he is making, what, $1.5 million, I believe. So
highest paid coach in the Mountain West.
That is pretty crazy. And as anyone that's been to Laramie, it's obviously a tough place to recruit to. I think sustained success is going to be a tough thing to do there, as they've shown. But, I think that's very interesting. I think Wyoming has to figure out what they want. But, they 2-4 last year, and if they finish under 500 this year, I mean, is that enough to take away the – 3 of the 4 8 win seasons before that? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think there's going to be a lot of turnover, because I think, Mike, that eight of the 12 coaches down at Media Days, 8 of the 12 coaches, it was their first time at Media Days. So you have a lot of new coaches in this league, as you guys know, and there's just not a lot of guys that really would be in that position. I mean, I know more and more coaches are not getting the 3, 4, 5, 6 years they probably deserve, but there's a lot of younger coaches in this league, and I unless there's someone that I'm forgetting about, I don't think there's going to be a lot of turnover, if any, in the league this year.
I wonder, like, Jim Mora, who's now at UConn as of today, would he have been interested, in the Laramie gig? Guys like that, anyway. BJ, I like this over-under game. I like this yes-no game that Prater was playing with you, so I'm going to take that to another level. I'm going to set the line for snaps. Talen Green takes it quarterback tomorrow at 1.5. Are you going over or under?
I'll go under. Under. I think it'll be over for the season, but I don't think he plays tomorrow.
Okay, so that experiment, they tried it last week. It didn't. Well, I mean, they got one big play out of it. They got a 20-plus yard run. So you don't think Talen Green, they don't do what they did last week and give the kid a series?
Well, you only get 2 games left with him, so I think you got to pick your pieces here with the 2 games, and I think he might have more value in a San Diego State-type game or a conference championship or a bowl game than tomorrow night's game. So he gets 2 more games, and I think you have to pick him wisely. I liked playing him when they did. I know some people didn't. I'm not sure if you guys did, but I thought it was a nice wrinkle that not only you tried to catch Fresno off guard, but you put something on tape that other teams have to pay attention to, and so I liked the wrinkle. I thought it was fine. I think he gets 2 more games this year, but I don't think you waste one of them tomorrow.
BJ, basketball. Marcus Shaver going to be playing Saturday at Irvine. I know they won by 20 a couple of nights ago, BJ. That was without one of their starters and Shaver. What are you hearing there as far as when he might be returning, man? Tell me about Saturday.
Well, I think they're hopeful. I mean, this has lingered on longer than they would have liked. He was dealing with this for a good portion of camp and then came back and was all set to go and then kind of re-aggravated it. And so it's something in terms of his hand, and I don't know if it's a bone or a muscle or what, but we were watching practice last week and he had a huge kind of thing that he was practicing through, a big wrap on it. So, yeah, I mean, he's a huge part of this team. I don't think people realize this. I mean, you were talking about the big three, Johnny. I mean, I think he would be in the big three. So, I mean, I you know, it's either got to be a big four or somebody else gets bumped out. I mean, I think Marcus Shaver is that good. He's going to be second or third on the team in scoring this year, probably. I mean, he's a very, very important piece of this team. So I think people were underestimating not having him, what that meant to this team. To win by 20 without Marcus Shaver, your best outside shooter, your best guy, your best pure guy at getting to the rack and creating, you know, buckets. I think Marcus Shaver has the biggest potential to have a quote unquote breakout or big year compared to last year of anybody on the team. So they need to get him back soon because I think he's a huge part of this team.
Boise State basketball coming off its season-opening victory against Utah Valley on Tuesday. They won't be back in Extra Mile Arena until Friday night, November 26th. That's the night after Boise State plays San Diego State earlier that morning. BJ, when they come back from UC Irvine this Saturday night, when they come back from the Charleston, South Carolina tournament and get ready for that Bakersfield game on the 26th, what will this basketball team look like?
Oh, man. First of all, the Irvine game on Saturday, guys, is very sneaky. If you look at the KenPom rankings, you know, Irvine's only projected to lose by 1 point. I mean, this is a 1 point, basically a 50-50 game for Boise State. It's a quad two game. Irvine's actually a pretty decent team. Their KenPom rankings just outside the top 100. So don't sleep on Saturday's game. That's a very sneaky, tough game for them. And then you've got the tournament at St. Bonaventure where you're in Charleston, where their first game in the tournament next week is against the number 23 ranked team in the country, St. Bonaventure, who's got five senior starters back or five returning starters. So, I think this is a very sneaky early test. You want to go 2-1 in Charleston, however you can. So if you can go 3-1 in the next four games, and if you can find a way to come back to that Bakersfield game with a 4-1 record, I think that would be amazing at this point. So you got to beat Irvine and then go 2-1 in the tournament. And if they can start, you know, pick up some of these wins that are going to prove to be tournament worthy, you've got Clemson potentially in the second game of the tournament or Temple. So it's going to be I think this is a very important next 10 days for this program, and it's going to tell a lot about the course of the season.
Well, you got a busy weekend coming up, covering Boise State football Friday, covering Boise State basketball Saturday, and doing everything else you do in between, BJ. We appreciate getting some time from you each and every, typically Friday? Did we bump BJ up today?
Yes, sir.
He's typically not with us on Thursday for the Blue Turf Sports Report, but we appreciate you, BJ. Thank you.
We'll see you in the press box tomorrow. Take care, guys.
I will. See old BJ Raines doing his thing there in the presser. How about some games this week? You wonder about point spreads. Is Boise State a lock to cover against Wyoming? They're two touchdown favorites. What about Green Bay and Seattle? What do you know about that? Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, who's going to play? What's that going to look like? Well, Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com joins us next. Talk about some of these point spreads on KTIK The Ticket.